And welcome back to the Wolverine Live. John Borton here with you and my good friend Tom Crawford. You know me from the Wolverine magazine, but you know Tom from all kinds of good places. Press Pass on Sunday nights with Jack Ebling, Fox 47. He is also the creator of the Crawford Podcasting Network, which has all kinds of great content from a variety of sources and different approaches to life. I enjoy that. But when he comes on here, Tom Crawford is all about Michigan athletics and all about, in particular, Michigan football, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. Despite the fact that it's not even June yet, Tom, you know we can time.
Yeah, hey, there is, you know, the dog days of June and July we used to lament, no more. There's never anything we're running out of to talk about with Michigan football, just by sheer anticipation and sheer just, you know, dissecting every little thing that could go right, could go wrong, will go right, might go wrong, you know what I mean? And I'm super excited to be up on Wolverine Live, JB, with you every Tuesday at 5:30 to 6:15.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you look at what has happened the past 2 years, two wins over Ohio State, two Big Ten championships, which isn't coincidental to what I just mentioned, and then two playoff appearances, you know, people can sit and listen about and talk about Michigan football at length without any problem at all. I've experienced that. I know you have. I'm sure wherever you go, people are talking about what's up with those Wolverines. They've got it going all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's about polishing the rock. You know what I mean? And part of that is this new era of transfer portal, because there's still Michigan's still entertaining the idea of getting a corner to come in here in the portal. And things that have happened in the summer in the past. And that's a position of need, I would say, that, you know, we talk about that every week, about that other corner slot off opposite of Will Johnson. So, yeah, we're never short of kind of pondering what could be done to make this thing even better, and the anticipation building. Camps come up here. June is a big camp month in college football. And so you'll get 25 guys, you know, 24, 25 guys zooming all around or all over the country. And there'll be more, expansion of recruiting classes, in particular the 25 class. So, you know, junior days here and all this stuff. It's just awesome. There's, you know, it's a 52 week cycle, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're talking recruiting. When that happens, when you're in the recruiting cycle right now, one of the things that's happening is Michigan diving back down into Ohio for recruits. And that's one of the – I'm going to go big Michigan-Ohio State tonight because it's on my mind. I just completed a big blowout Michigan-Ohio State football story for the Wolverine magazine preview, which will be out in another month or so.
All right.
We had Jed Donahue as a guest last week on the program, and most people know him from PA Sports. He covers Penn State for a living these days, but he is steeped in Ohio State. Had an uncle played for Woody Hayes and grew up watching the Buckeyes. One of the things he said, and I will give away only one that came out of this article interview, is that he said, you know that Michigan has got it going when they're going back into Ohio and pulling out Ohio-based recruits. He started ticking them off, and it was almost painful for him, talking about Desmond Howard, you know, from the Cleveland area, Charles Woodson, the one that really hurt, Fremont, Ohio, and on and on. And he says what really galls Ohio State fans is when they see those Ohio men in Michigan uniforms killing Ohio State. And Michigan fans like that.
Yeah, and that's when the rivalry really gets sensitive to everybody. It gets personal with everybody. I know we're going to talk a lot about the different aspects of Michigan Ohio State on this, on our broadcast today, but yeah, and it's a whole footprint, John. I mean, Michigan is when you're talking about 25 recruits right now, they're in the mix for, as well as obviously this incredible class in 2024. They're in the mix for just about going head to head with everybody, and the talent gap has shrunk, and I think that's what keeping Ohio State people uncertain and nervous about things and losing 2 years in a row. Got to go back up, you know, the school, got to go to the school up north this coming November, late November, and take on, and you know you gotta just cringe at the, or they must cringe at the fact that, God, we dropped three in a row to these losers. I mean, that might be their mentality, but it's reality. It could, and I think it's going to be reality. And but first things first, we got to get to the off season and all that, all the good stuff.
Oh yeah,
you're and, talking including Big Ten Media Days, which is less than 2 months away. It's July 26th, 27th down in Indy, a Wednesday and Thursday. So that's when I'll use this shameless plug. When I get my first visual of the Wolverine of your preview magazine that you do, you guys and this entire staff, a superb job. It's the best. It is the best for Michigan football hard copy I've ever seen, ever.
Well, thank you for that, as always. And your appreciation for it and promotion of it over the years has been very welcome. And I know you're sincere about it because you went to get your hands on it and you devour it. I understand that, appreciate it. You know, you're talking about the current concerns of Ohio State fans. I want to do a throwback to start this whole thing off on the former concerns about certain cadres of Michigan fans. And it was Jim Harbaugh comes in and starts talking about, you know, tough physical football, running the football. And it was in some quarters, and even with Brady Hoke before Jim Harbaugh, derisively called man ball.
Yeah.
And the talk was, oh, yeah, they're just going to plunge into the line. They don't, there's no way this is going to work. This is, these are the 21st century. You cannot do that. Look at Ohio State. They need to be like Ohio State. They'll never beat Ohio State unless they spread it out and you're throwing the ball all over the field all the time. You know, forget this 3 yards in a cloud of dust, all that stuff. I know that goes against the core values of one Tom Crawford. But my point is that these last couple of years, Tom, have changed that whole narrative that you have to throw it all over the field all the time to beat an Ohio State. Now, Michigan can throw the ball. I mean, they've been able to throw the ball to some degree ever since Anthony Carter showed up on campus under Bo Schembechler, but they've ramped it up. With J.J. McCarthy, you're going to be able to throw the football. But this tough physical running game and toughness on defense, it puts to rest for me the whole anti quote-unquote man ball argument.
You know, man ball to me is not the spread, you know, not the five wide where you're flinging it all around, quick slants and all that stuff that you see a lot of teams over the years do. But I'm you know, my whole creed in life is moderation. That's the way I was brought up. Everything, I'm kind of down the middle in a lot of things in life, okay? Moderation, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and don't go, you know, one direction or another on a solution to a problem, or a challenge there. So I just think this offense that has evolved has man ball toughness. It's got great tight ends. It's got an incredible offensive line. It's got two backs, but you can still keep the defense on their heels by, you can spread it without losing your manhood man ball thing. You know what I mean? I mean, think about the opportunities, John, of throwing the swing pass, if you will, you know, to Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. I mean, as part of the whole blend, if you know what I mean, along with your off tackles, you know, and Carvin holds up the middle with Zach Zenner And then, of course, you know, using, in my estimation, with Roman Wilson leading the charge, a underrated receiving core that I think is going to get better if that third guy steps up. You know, because I'm kind of on Roman Wilson and CJ. But if you get a Darius Clemens, who that third guy you can always count on, who could be in the 25-30 reception range plus, mm-hmm. then you got it all covered, and you got a great blend, a little this, a little that, making this perfect recipe, and that's when you win national championships.
There's no question. They can throw the ball around. They can swing it out of the backfield. They can use the tight ends. They can do a whole lot of things. But where it starts, and I think this has come out, and the people that I've talked to talking about Michigan, Ohio State, it starts up front. Michigan has dominated both lines of scrimmage in the last two Michigan, Ohio State games. And there is real man ball. There is controlling those lines, and what that does, it puts pressure on the opposing quarterback. Yes, C.J. Stroud is an excellent quarterback drafted in the NFL. He's going to do good things. He threw for almost 300 yards against Michigan, and yet Michigan put a lot of pressure on him and picked off a couple of passes at key times and broke up some things. And on the other side of the football, we know what Michigan's offensive line has done 2 years in a row to the Ohio State defense. Enough 2 years ago to bring in a new defensive coordinator, and now that defensive coordinator is trying to figure out how to close the hole over Zach Zinter.
Yeah. And you know, there's two areas. Now, yes, I do delve in old videos from the Ohio State game of this past November, and there's a lot of end zone video clips. I don't know if you've seen them, but I'm obsessed with them. And a couple in particular. One is the JJ, the keeper, the keeper where, you know, lays a shoulder. You know, that's in the short yard situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That touchdown, that was a big touchdown. The communication prior to that snap on that offensive line, you got a complete visual of that. You also had, on the second Donovan Edwards touchdown, you had the same visual of the communication going on. And then all of a sudden, the seat parts. And that's where this offensive line is, you know, like the old days of Bo, you know, Bo Schembech, where Jerry Hanlon days, where it was, you know, five guys were acting in unison. It was like one guy. I mean, all five becomes one and doing everything in sync. And that's where this offensive line is. And with all the returnees coming back, two great additions on that offense. Yeah, it's good. That's the centerpiece, maybe, of them all.
That is the centerpiece, and that is a great development in terms of Michigan in its ability to close out the Buckeyes the last couple of years. But I will say this, as impressive to me as what the offense has done, maybe more impressive is what the defense has done. And that's because where were they coming from? They were coming from giving up 62 points, 56 points to Ohio State. You got to 2020 and they didn't play the game. And it was almost, you know, Michigan fans quietly saying that might be okay, that Michigan isn't facing Ohio State in a year where they were 2-4 anyway and having all kinds of problems. Now, these last 2 years, all of a sudden, you import defensive coordinators from the Baltimore Ravens, or at least coached there at one point, and you've got this defense that doesn't leave guys running free, doesn't leave guys breaking off these huge, enormous plays. Ohio State's going to make some plays, but you've got guys that are covering people, putting pressure, getting pressure on the quarterback without all out blitzes and man coverage all the time and all these kinds of things. And I just am hugely impressed by a Michigan defense that you see Ohio State average 50 points all year long, 45 points all year long. They get to that game and they get half of that. That's a big deal in this series.
Yeah, but the challenge is, John, I agree, you make some great points, but do keep in mind what happened in the Fiesta Bowl. And you're talking about you're having to blitz to get quarterback pressures and what that caused. It caused man-on-man out there, out on an island, and all of a sudden touchdown for TCU, and you know, they could never, they were not able to get control of that game defensively. Okay, they kind of got back into it offensively. See, that's the next step. I mean, that's where I am a little guarded. I'm excited about this defense, but I'm way more cautious in my perception of where this team is going in 23 than I am on the offense. Okay. Is a defense against big time competition historically has folded like a cheap tent in some scenarios. Let's be real.
I understand. And I think they took too many chances down the stretch against TCU and got burned for it. I will add a couple of counters to that. And one, as I talk to people, Michigan's linebackers in that game were more nicked up than we really knew about, and they were thin there anyway. I give them great credit for going out and getting Ernest Hausman off of the Nebraska roster. They're going to have more depth and more talent, period, in the linebacking core. And also, you bear in mind, 14 of those points weren't given up by the defense against TCU.
No, I understand.
I get you 100%, Tom.
A lot of yards, 400, you know, a ton of yards, John.
Right, but no question. My basic point was they've come so far against defending Ohio State, and they but there's still meat on the bone, room to improve, and you point that out very well. There's no question. Here's one that I also encountered, and I'm not going to give away again the back and forth on this one, but I found it interesting as we talked about, I talked to various people about Michigan, Ohio State. The Ohio State fan base, as it turns out, is a little bit torqued, or maybe a little more than a little bit torqued, about the flag planting at midfield by Michigan afterwards. They celebrated in Columbus. They celebrated like they hadn't won there since 2000, which, oh, by the way, they hadn't. And I think some of the Buckeye take on this is they've only won 2 years in a row. That Ohio State dominated before that. They're way too cocky. Well, I mean, what do you think about that? I won't comment. Okay. You run with this one.
Well, this is the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, let's go back. You know, as far as antagonizing the opposition. Let's go back to the Buckeyes coming out of the tunnel in 1973, and John Hicks, the late John Hicks, tears down the banner that Bob Uferbaum had a coronary about. You see the footage. Go check the YouTube footage of that. You know, as far that was before the game was even played. And let's just go back as far as cocky and obnoxious behavior. How about the Ohio State fans coming into Ann Arbor? Good Lord, before and after the game. I mean, I know Michigan fans who choose not to go to the Michigan-Ohio State game when it's in Ann Arbor.
Right.
So I have to deal with all these clowns that come into town.
Right into Ohio State's hands, by the way.
What's that again?
I said, which plays right into Ohio State's hands, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, well, this is exactly, you know, they want to bully their way, right, you know, bully you right out of the stadium is what they're, you know, there's a contingent that's over at the U course that comes across Stadium Drive, you know, when they let the whole crowd go all at once.
Yep.
You know, and kind of right in front of Chrysler, maybe a little bit to the east of that, and it's like they're singing, you know, don't give a damn of the whole stadium. I mean, they're just taunting people, and they're bumping into people. They're trying to create fight. It's obnoxious. So these people complaining about a freaking flag. You know what that is? That's the players reacting. I'm so tired of this crap. You know what I mean? I'm just tired of this.
I'm
gonna stick it to the. And that's JJ doing the wave, you know, after the game. And that's not typically what JJ. But this is when it kind of gets to you after you've been dealing with all this crap, and your fans have been dealing with all this crap, and your parents go into the stadium, and they need to have Washtenaw County sheriffs around them to get to their seats that they import to protect the parents. I mean, we can go historically on this. That's why it's a pot calling the kettle black.
You and I can absolutely go historically. Let me add a couple of historical facts for you in addition to the excellent points that you made. There's no record of any time when a Buckeye team came into town and were stopped outside Michigan Stadium to be by bomb sniffing dogs, yes, a la Michigan in the Trestle era down in Columbus.
Yes. I mean,
you want to talk about arrogance, you want to talk about an attempted intimidation, there it is. And a second one that, to my knowledge, there has been never been a Buckeye mom, in other words, the mother of a Buckeye player, coming around Michigan Stadium being knocked to the cement, and Michigan fans trying to tear the jersey off of her, which happened to a Michigan mom,
right,
years ago back down, yep, in Columbus. So
yep,
yeah, that I know that Ohio State fans are plenty rankled over losing two in a row to Michigan. They weren't, they had gotten very used to something very different.
Absolutely. But,
they may have to get used to something else. We'll see. That's another topic for another day. But Jim Tressel, the aforementioned Jim Tressel, that had to resign in disgrace after lying to the NCAA and all that came out, said recently, he almost repeated his 2001 statement about the Toledo played, how I think that Buckeye fans will be very proud of up in Ann Arbor next fall. So
yeah, and this is when this happens. This happens in close. This is like delay a long time ago. Darryl Rogers at Michigan State in a banquet said, you know, that's why they call the people in Ann Arbor arrogant asses and everything. That was in 78. And then Michigan paid him back for that comment in 79. It's always in these small groups of their alumni base or fans, whatever, Subway alumni in Ohio State's case, where all these kind of comments come out, you know. And I'm sure that was a Tressel moment, you know. You remember when he was at, was it St. the new arena build, or was the old St. John arena, when he said, you know, Buckeyes will make us proud in Ann Arbor. I mean, he's saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's easier for it's always great when the former coach says that he's got zero accountability, right? can just throw it out. That's like Urban Meyer throwing crap out. I mean, there's no accountability, like I said, and that's when that stuff happens.
No doubt about it. And we're going to take now a quick timeout from Michigan Ohio State talk. It won't take us but a minute to get back to it. I guarantee you that, because there's plenty more to talk about, but we do want to take a moment to shout out the sponsor of our Tuesday night recruiting show and a longtime partner of the Wolverine in Lewis Jewelers. Simple question, guys. Is your daughter's engagement ring bigger than that of your wife? If the answer is yes, great news. Lewis Jewelers can help. It's stress-free and easy working with one of their non-commissioned expert trusted advisors, finding that perfect diamond. So stop by today, guys, and fix the family issue. Lewis Jewelers, your diamond store, and so much more since 1921. Visit them at their new location, 300 South Maple Road in Ann Arbor, or online at lewisjewelers.com. That's LewisJewelers.com. That's Lewis Jewelers, where Ann Arbor gets engaged. And back to Tom Crawford, who is going to watch the engagement of the once again Buckeyes and Wolverines high noon on November 25th. This is a different sort of engagement. This is a less happy and a less jovial engagement. This kind of engagement where you run into each other like those people crossing Stadium Boulevard, as you mentioned. But one of the conflicts that will really be watched carefully, not because they'll be on the same field at the same time, which they won't, will be potential new OSU quarterback Kyle McCord, and now Ohio State veteran J.J. McCarthy. Talk a little bit about what you've heard about McCord, how you think he might react to getting his first start, if in fact he's getting some competition, but he is the odds on favorite. If he starts in that Michigan game versus a guy that has really been through it the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I watched the entire Ohio State spring game. Yeah, I did. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, right? I just wanted to see what it was like. And Kyle McCord was, you know, he's their most experienced quarterback. He's a junior. He's about 6'3", about maybe 220. He's your prototypical pro style. You know, he's not, you know, flicker foot quarterbacks that Michigan has been threatened and damaged by past Ohio State quarterbacks. But, you know, it's like when you watch him in a spring game, you're getting base fundamental plays. What do you get out of it? I couldn't really tell a thing.
Right.
But he's the most, you know, they got the freshman Devin Brown, I think his name is another guy who's going to compete with him. And they'll name a starter in August sometime. But, you know, the best thing about Kyle McCord is the guys he's throwing to, Mecca Buka and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, you got two guys. I mean, how can you screw this up if you have a decent arm? These two guys that I just mentioned, Buka and Harrison Jr., they are first-round draft picks, high first-round draft picks. They're going to have the fancy suits on next April or late April, early May, whenever it is, and they're going to be bouncing out there, and, you know, they're going to get drafted in the first, you know, probably in the first 12 or 14. I'm thinking these guys are incredible. So you got two great receivers. And then, you know, you have a decent running game as well. So I think he's going to be one of these manage the game kind of guys. I hate that overused term, but I mean, he's not going to be a play. You know, CJ Stroud is going to be out there and scare the crap out of you what he can do with his arms and his legs. But he's you know, your classic pro style guy that is got to be. I mean, he was, you know, highly recruited and he's experienced. He's played several. You know, I think he started in the Akron game when Stroud was out and won the game. But that's Akron. But he's got experience, and I mean, I think he'll be decent. But is he JJ McCarthy-esque? No way. There is a cavernous gap, in my opinion, at quarterback. The way it stands right now, it might change, but the way it stands right now, this is a big plus for Michigan.
Yeah, I would agree. I will say this, as is always the case in the Michigan-Ohio State game, you never really face a freshman quarterback. You mentioned the freshman, and if he comes on, but either of these guys who plays is going to have an entire season of football under their belt as a starter when you get to that game. So Michigan never really faces a rookie, just a rookie in that game. And that's enough. That's a big deal. But they've always had that season under their belt. And the same thing for Michigan going against Ohio State with first-time starting quarterbacks just like J.J. McCarthy last year. So, you know, sometimes they can rise up and do big things even in the opponent's backyard. But
but you know, John, there's another – I mean, it all depends. I mean, you can make an average quarterback look like he's, you know, he's ruling, he's king for a day out there. If you have a balance with all that arsenal, I talked about the receivers, but you know, Travion Henderson is back, a running back, and Mayan Williams. I mean, that's a heck of a comp. That's an alternate thing. But that's experience. Those are household names that have played a lot of football for Ohio State and productive football for Ohio State. So if that offensive line gets clicking, and that, you know, they have that potent attack, and, you know, then all of a sudden who's quarterback is not that relevant. I mean, obviously, for the reasons I cited, you still got to be manageable, but it's not going to be that vital of an issue if they didn't have those weapons.
All right. I'll just last word on that. Watch out for Ohio State's offensive line. Our mutual friend Jed Donahue, again, with us last week, says that could be the weak spot of this.
Yes, bus. I like it.
We will see how that develops. I'm going to throw you right now what may be a bit of a softball question, but it's kind of intriguing in a different way, because what I'm asking you, Tom Crawford, is can you tell me right now that Michigan, Ohio State will be for the Big Ten championship? And let me tell you what I'm asking. That has to assume that whoever comes out of that game, that first of all, you're in a situation where the winner of that game is going to the Big Ten championship game. Secondly, you're assuming that whoever wins that game and goes to the Big Ten championship is going to once again mop up on the West. So as you sit here right now, are you going to make those two assumptions, Tom Crawford, and agree with the notion that whoever comes out of the Michigan-Ohio State game, the winner is going to be the Big Ten champion once again?
Yeah, there's two things to look at this. You know, that they'll be the Big Ten champion, but they'll look, you know, listen, when Jeb was on last week, I threw this little nugget out, and I don't know if I'm going to double down on it when it comes to prediction time, but I said that Michigan has, I came just short of declaring it, but I think Michigan could lose at Penn State. Penn State is going to lose at Ohio State, and Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. So you got your three-way tie there, all one loss, right? And then how are you going to sift through all that to determine who's going to go to the Big Ten championship? Then you have, depending on how they do in the rest of their schedule, what if they're all unscathed in all the other games? I mean, you have a couple of CFP participant candidates there, at least one other one. Mm-hmm. And what if Ohio State has one loss, goes to the Big Ten championship and gets upset? You know, I mean, and opens the door for somebody. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, it's going to be crazy because those three Big Ten teams, John, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, they're all going to be really, really good. I'm just going to say that. And they're all going to be in the hunt. They're going to be in the hunt for a Big Ten title. For Michigan, it's those last three games. I mean, let's be real. You got Penn State on November 11th. Get the sandwich game. Look out for that, you know, trap game with Maryland on the road in College Park. And you got the Bucks coming back home for Turkey weekend. So, wow, landmines all over the place.
It's how you finish. Lloyd Carr went about finishing, and you've got to finish this season. That big three, I mean, you're going to have such highly anticipated, intensely watched clashes between those teams, and Michigan now has gotten some good news with regard to their toughest road game of the year at Penn State. Thanks to our friends at Fox Sports, you've got a Fox Big Noon game at Penn State, and that I'm telling you what, that can make a world of difference. You've seen what the Penn State fans are like. I've been out there many times, and for night games, for day games, it is literally night and day.
Yeah, well, you know, Michigan won that in 97. They won that 3:30 game where you start in the daylight, you end in dark, like the Rose Bowl, right? And that was, you know, in the rain and everything. And so they got a little bit of the night action there, but they jumped all over Penn State so often, early and often in that game. They got a blowout city by halftime, but the 99 game, that was a noon kickoff, and we saw 2 years ago at noon, Michigan won that game late in the game. So yeah, I'll take day games. I don't know what it is. Probably, you know, the adult beverages have not kicked in and all that other good stuff and the whiteout and just that whole mystique and the noise, and everything seems louder at night for some reason. Music on your car radio seems louder at night for some reason. I have these only thing about night, you know, and I think it holds for the noise level at in State College. So I'm thrilled with that. Still, it's going to be a challenge. So, and we just don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But man, on paper, based on the arsenal that those two teams have back that we talked about last week, I talked about Michigan, Penn State. That's that first big one. But there's other trap games you still got to worry about, right? I mean, you can't take any of this stuff for granted. You don't know about injuries. You don't know about execution. And maybe Michigan just keeps getting better and better all year. By that time, they'll blow through everybody. Who knows? Of that.
And part of the elements, a couple of the elements of that getting better and better is you look at who they've added through the transfer portal. You know, there are question marks but positives. They've got these import offensive linemen that some of them have been finishing up some classes, like Ladarius Henderson.
Yeah.
And others have come in and already impressed. We talked about Ernest Hausman over on the defensive side. One guy that hasn't maybe gotten as much talk as some of those others is J.J. Barner, the tight end out of Indiana, and he's been nicked up at some points. But I'll tell you what, with the tight end situation they have and what they've lost, you know, you've got Colston Loveland as the guy, probably the lead guy, as he was just a freshman last year, but he came up big in the Ohio State game. But A.J. Barner, with a very veteran young man out of Indiana, I just get the feeling more and more that this is going to be a kid whose presence will really, really be felt if he can stay healthy. I mean, you had Luke Schoonmaker sort of nicked up late in the season last year. But if Barner can stay healthy, I am predicting right now that he is going to make a big impact for this team.
You know, it's funny with the transfer portal, kids make changes, switches, go to another team for different reasons. Jack Tuttle came to Michigan. I mean, he was playing in Indiana, but he wanted to be part of a national championship potential experience, right? And then A.J. Barner wanted those reasons too. But more importantly, he's seen what's happened at the University of Michigan of providing that link to the NFL. He wants to play in the NFL. He thinks he's good enough to play in the NFL. And he had almost 30 catches last year. But you're right, great point. He got nicked up, but he was a prominent player. I remember him playing. But think of the competition now, tight end right now, that Michigan has.
Oh, yeah.
And AJ was talking about what – and you're hearing this all the time. You're down there at the coach – at the coordinator meetings or the PR things during the week. I'm not. I'm only on the weekends. But people – I mean, he's raving about Grant Newsom already. And Grant Newsom is – you know, he's another one of these – you know, the tight ends – he's one of these guys just up and coming, right? But when you think about in that room with Colson Loveland and Max Predison, the former walk-on who's playing great. Matthew Hibner, I think, didn't he have a big game in the spring game? It's like, where's this guy coming from? I mean, despite departures at tight end, one onto the NFL, obviously, with Scooney, wow, another position of strength.
All right, it's late in the fourth quarter of this particular Wolverine Live. We put the headset on. We turn to Tom Crawford for Tom's take on a particular topic of his choosing. And, Tom, what do you have for us tonight?
I'm going to do a couple nuggets here. 4 years ago today, I believe I'm correct in this, May 30th of 2019, Juwan Howard, we were down there. We were sitting right next to each other.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chrysler on the floor announces a head basketball coach, okay? Four years ago. Hmm. God, is that, you know, sometimes I think it just happened, and sometimes it seems like, you know, he's been there a long time. But, I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, it's almost like we've got, you know, and that was like, with it less than a year ahead of COVID. You know, I mean, COVID hit in March of 2020 when we were down at the Big Ten tournament, and then wiped out that whole season. And then they win the Big Ten title the next year in a kind of a, you know, hybrid kind of year, no fans. And so when I look back at Juwan, he's had an interesting 4 years, calendar years.
No doubt. But
this one coming up is huge for him. It's big time. And yep, including a couple of, you know, necessary additions on the scholarship thing. He's got to get up to 13 to make sure he has a full arsenal. He's got kids, you know, got a big center out of Tennessee. He got the guard potentially coming from Toledo, blah, blah, blah. Might as well not even mention names until they show up.
Right.
But so that's one thing that sticks out of my mind. But the other thing that sticks out of mind, also basketball related, is just paying homage to Duncan Robinson. You talk about resiliency, and now he's going on to his, you know, he's already a NBA champion, and now he's back in the finals. He had, you know, he's had some, the former Wolverine had some, you know, this year he didn't play a lot. All of a sudden there was an injury, a couple injuries, and on a team that's filled with undrafted free agents, and with Eric Spoelstra, and look what Duncan's doing. He's out there making plays. They're getting the ball to him at crucial times. He's hitting big time shots. He had some big time shots the other night, you know, in game six. And then he missed a couple ones that we've seen him hit over and over And then I thought, oh, my God. But then he had 10 points last night, and they're going, they beat the Celts up in Boston, and they're back in the finals. That kid, you like him as much as I do. He was the nicest kid to cover.
Oh, yeah.
For the void, you know, we had Jordan Poole last year, Duncan Robinson this year. It always makes the NBA a lot sweeter, JB, when you got a former Wolverine out there to cheer on.
There's no question. And not just a feel good from the standpoint of what he's accomplishing now. What a story. I mean,
amazing story. Amazing.
He got to Michigan, was a former coach that yeah. knew Eli, and he calls up and says, hey, I got a guy for you.
Yeah.
Interested in. Okay, I'll take a look. And there you have it. He comes to Michigan. He makes it big time. He goes to the NBA, and people doubted then. And here he is, just absolutely living life.
He's making a decent living. He's got a $90 million contract with $80 million guaranteed. It's come a long ways from playing D3 freshman year for Duncan Robinson. It's an amazing story. I'm surprised people aren't grabbing onto this thing more than they have.
No doubt. They thought he'd be back out east stocking grocery store shelves at one point. He won't be doing that anytime soon. Tom, a heck of a lot of fun talking to you.
Always.
The whole Michigan, Ohio State thing and all the topics we cover. Yes, we're a ways away from live action, but it is always a joy to talk to you. And on these topics where there is intense interest, and it's only going to ramp up between now and the 1st of September.
Always a pleasure to be on, a privilege with you, JB. Look forward to next Tuesday night.